Hello, everybody. Welcome to This Week in Mormon, the show where you come to hear all about stuff that happens with Mormons. That's my intro.
Ba-dum-bum-bum.
This week on the show, we're going to talk about the lost chapters of Mosiah, the Gilbert Temple
and what
news,
else, Jeff?
Gilbert Temple news, Mormon imagery in pop culture, binge drinking, and how to find your appropriate Mormon name. These will all be discussed today.
My favorite out of all of those right now is the Mormon name. I feel like I found a gem among gems.
I think my favorite was the fact that amongst all those topics, I just said binge drinking. We'll talk about binge drinking.
That's like, do you remember when Gordon B. Hinckley got up and talked about raves one time?
I do not remember
if it was a general conference or if it was just like one of the CES firesides or something, but he got up and he's like, we know about your raves. All these things you kids are doing. Don't think we don't know. And I'm like, what? What? Where did rave come from? Why are we talking about raves?
Because we can.
Getting all hopped up on the E, cruising around the dance floor with glow sticks and knee pads. I know you kids.
And you know how it is in Utah, too. I mean, everyone just goes to the Saltaire and goes crazy.
Saltaire. Yes, I've heard of such things.
It's a wild town in Utah.
So how you been, Jeff?
By the way, dear Utah, I will be coming to you. A week from now. If you want me to sign any of your This Week in Mormons paraphernalia.
Dude, we should call the Deseret Bookstore. Their flagship store.
And just talk it up like they should totally know who we are.
Set up a book signing or like just a meet and greet, right?
No, I like the book signing. So they'll be like, well, what's your book? And we'll just be like, no book. Just anyone can bring their books in and we'll sign them.
How awesome would that be? And like the whole thing is you sit there alone the entire day.
I feel like, you know, I don't have a problem doing things for spectacle, just for the kicks and giggles. I believe you've seen the chicken video from years past.
Yes, I have.
So I could be compelled, if enough people rally behind the cause, to go to that Deseret Book and just sit down and just set up like unannounced and just pretend I'm there for a reason without checking with them or anything like that.
How awesome would that be?
I think we need to do some field reporting next week, perhaps. I am going into the lion's den.
Into the Utah.
And as such, I should take some of my portable recording gear. We should do some interviews on the streets.
We'll put a backpack on you with a foot-long microphone.
We could do this whole thing where we ask people what they know about Mormons. It could be a hilarious video sequel.
We'll call it Mormon Walking.
Because it's never been done before.
Yes. And people be like, Mormons? Yeah, I've heard of them. Whatever.
Yep, it'll be just like that. But we'll do it in Salt Lake City, because it'll be funnier that way.
Just walk around Provo. What do you know about Mormons?
Dude, that would... Because you've seen the actual video, right? What's that called? I forgot. You know that movie?
The New York one, yeah, where they're in New York.
I'm blanking on the name, though. But you know the one I'm talking about, yeah, where they just interviewed people. And then they did one in Europe as well later on down the line. It would be far more amusing just to do it in Provo, though.
That would actually be brilliant. We should do that. I'm not even kidding. We should just go around and like, what do you know about the Mormon Church? Well, I am one.
I will take my voice recorder. I promise you this. I don't know how much we'll get done, but I will take my voice recorder.
Well, because you know the response is going to be, well, I am one. It's like, but what do you know?
Yes, but what do you know? Who are the Mormons?
I bet we get some great snippets. Some awesome.
Well, there it is. All right, I'll do this. I'm looking for stuff to do while I'm up there. So, you know, if all of my plans to go to Utah and seduce multiple women fall through, I will do this.
That's great. So,
how's your week been, buddy? We've recently endured the sad loss of the U.S. men's soccer team
to Ghana.
To Ghana. Ghana's gotten good though. It's hard to. It just sucks that they eliminated us at the same stage.
To all our Ghanaian friends out there, I'd like to say Akwaba.
That's not a real word.
Yes, it is. That's
fine.
That's hello.
Because I love Ghanaians. I do.
And I need to give a shout out to the one Ghanaian that I actually know very well. Free Body.
Oh, who made my favorite movie of all time?
Counter-Strike, that's right.
Counter-Strike, the greatest film I've probably ever seen.
Free Body, well done today, your whole Ghanaian nation.
I just thought we lucked out that Michael Essien couldn't actually play with him, because then it would have been even worse. But anyway,
is that name not incredible, Free Body? I would like to name my first child that.
Ghanaians often have very cool names, especially if they are Twi speakers, the language from the western region, the Ashanti region.
All right, you're just showing off now.
Centered around the city of Kumasi. I learned all of this on my mission.
Look at me, I know geography.
Not just geography, sociology, ethnography. I can do all these
things. Don't flaunt your education.
No, I just want to make the point that a lot of Ghanaians are named after the day they were born. Not the date, but just the day of the week when they were born.
So there's a lot of Mondays and Tuesdays?
No. They're all traditional Twi names when they follow that.
Are they stereotypical, kind of like what we do in America, where, you know, if you're named after a season, then typically you're exceptionally overweight? So like a summer or an autumn would always be 500 plus pounds?
Not quite along those lines. But if you're named Kwame, chances are you were born on Wednesday. Ever since my mission, I've always wanted to go to Ghana. So even though they just defeated us, I actually want them to beat Uruguay. So.
And I will go for Uruguay and we'll make it interesting.
Okay.
And England. As much of a jerk. Well, we don't have to talk about soccer anymore. But anyway, so...
No, I'm desperately hoping the Germans beat the English.
I want the English to win. I'm a big Andy Rooney fan. I think he's a big jerk, but
he's done nothing so far this World Cup.
But I do recognize him from my FIFA Soccer PlayStation game. So,
yes, because I believe you have the version when he was on the cover. Do you not?
I do.
I'm trying to see what's on my old FIFA cover.
So anyway,
I think I have Rooney and yes, and I have Rooney and Ronaldinho Dunio on it. There you go.
Ronaldine.
Anyway, how's life been, friend?
It's good. I'm in Kansas City this weekend. We're back here rocking and rolling. And I actually drove all night. I've been up 30 some hours. And loving every minute of it, baby.
Here you are. This is dedication, sir. I just burped. I'm sorry. Still burping. Well, I'm glad. Glad you're with us. Good times. I saw Toy Story 3 finally this week.
And I heard it was...
You might remember last week I got a little bit heated up about the guy that always gives negative reviews and this and that.
Yeah,
it was all centered around Toy Story 3.
Of course. But it was phenomenal, yes? So,
I have seen it. It was a very, very good film. I don't know if you have seen it. I know you don't get out to the cinema as much.
I have not seen it.
But it is a great film.
When Netflix will let me stream it, I may watch... the first half.
Which, thanks to the movie studios, they won't be able to do until a month after the movie is actually released on DVD for purchase.
I feel like not having a girlfriend has destroyed my cinematic consumption. I never go to... Like, I don't watch TV, I don't go to movies, I don't do any of that.
You could go with friends. Well, you could just make friends.
I could, but I'd just as soon work. See, the only reason that I go to movies normally is because it's, like, time spent with women folk, right? And so going...
So what, it's like a quota with you or something? You're like, all right, I got to put in 2 hours here.
Well, I really enjoy it because I'm there with...
Do you really?
Yes.
I recall you throwing popcorn the whole time at the screen while we watched Avatar and trash.
Well, that's because I was so bitter that 9-foot woman was going for Jake instead of me. It was bitterness inside. All right, so anyway, we got a pretty good show. I'm so excited to share the name thing with everybody.
You're really pumped up about the name thing. And the irony of this, I think we can share this with our listeners, that
yes.
My internet connection has gone out. So, as luck would have it, I've been streaming this and tethering this from my phone, which is not actually going very well, of course, because oftentimes we lose connections when we do things from the phone. So we're going to hope for the best today. We're going to hope that we can hop on the old interweb, make the most of this situation. And if I drop out, then drop out I shall. And let's hope for the best, right?
That's right. But what do you do?
I was just laughing because I just dropped out. Anyway, so we've got a fun show planned today, and because of my lack of internet and ghetto tethering, we're going to desperately hope that I don't just pop in and out throughout the entire
But if you do, think how glamorous that would be. All right.
If I do, we have done it before. before, it is Al's job to ramble, so expect nothing from me.
All right, I'll do it. I'm ready. I'm on my toes.
All right, so moving right along today. Interesting thing out of the Mormon Times.
This is breaking news, everyone. This just in, hot off the presses.
This is from the Scholar's Corner, which is ironic because this is the Mormon Times, the ones who sponsor the Blogger Brawl and send us your worst Dear John letters, but apparently they have a Scholar's Corner.
June 26, 2010.
Yeah.
Mosiah has been stolen.
Well, sort of. Apparently some BYU professors of linguistics and other people argue that after, of course, there's the story of the 116 manuscript pages that were lost from the Book of Mormon, you know, when Martin Harris lost them.
I'm still convinced he sold them to his wife for a hefty profit.
Hefty sum. And he just said, hey, you just took my money and paid me with my own money. This is wonderful.
So, no wonder I'm losing my farm here.
Anyway, Joseph Smith picked up translating where he had been. And they argue that this was actually chapter 3 of Mosiah where he picked up. So that our chapter 1 of Mosiah today is actually what would have been chapter 3. Of course, when the Book of Mormon was first published, it wasn't in chapter form, if we recall. Or wasn't in chapter form, or just wasn't in verse form.
It was not in verse form, yeah.
My bad, not verse form.
And we were missing the Bruce R. McConkie chapter headings.
Yeah, so there are chapter headings.
Footnotes also weren't there. Believe it or not, young children, when we studied the scriptures as children, we did not have all these frivolous additions that you do. Chapter headings and the whatnot.
It was a sad world.
Back in the 50s when Jeff and I were children.
It was awesome. So I think this is an interesting thought that he actually picked up in chapter 3 of Mosiah. So along with the Book of Lehi that was lost, which is what we always talk about with these pages, the first two chapters, apparently, of Mosiah are also not with us. Which also makes me ask, then, does that mean that the Book of Lehi would have come before Mosiah? Because I always picture the Book of Lehi coming before Nephi.
Perhaps it was after Nephi. That would have made sense.
I mean, he might have jumped around some. But, you know, don't you picture it being coupled with that? It would make sense. It's Lehi. Why would Mosiah pop up right after Jeremiah?
Now, this just supports my thesis that we shouldn't even bother with the scripture mastery stuff, because once it's all restored, some kid will be like, 217, Mosiah 217 will be like, what's up, sucker? That's 417 now. Where you at? And he'll be like, oh, no, it's all wrong. All my Mosiah is wrong.
Everything I once knew.
And then,
has been torn asunder.
Then he'll question his core beliefs and be like, well, if that's changed, what else could change? I don't even know who I am.
Never mind, we will receive all of these things after all is said and done, when the veil will be torn,
but still,
will be dissolved once again.
Who will be laughing then? I will.
I'm sure we will be, because that's what we do, is we laugh.
Yeah, just
so backing up this claim, I like this theory. We'll post the link to the article, of course, as always, on the website, because it makes a good point that every book of the Book of Mormon starts out or is written by a general, whomever the book is named after. Okay?
Yep.
So Nephi wrote Nephi. Presumably Lehi wrote the Book of Lehi. But Mosiah starts out in chapter 1, but with King Benjamin, which lends itself to this theory that if they were all in the same structure, those initial chapters perhaps actually had Mosiah himself talking. Because as we might remember as time goes on, Mosiah himself seldom actually has any dialogue. Mosiah the Elder, anyway. Obviously, King Benjamin's son was whom? Al?
Mosiah.
Hey. So that's a different Mosiah. That's Mosiah that had the sons that were bad. They became buddies with Alma, and they ran like a chain gang in Zarahemla and caused problems.
Chain gang?
They were like thugs, basically. They were thugs. I could see them walking around.
I'm not sure chain gang terrorizes anyone.
This isn't they're walking around, man, smacking stuff out of your hands.
Perhaps you're thinking of the buttercream gang.
Burning palm trees. They were like terrorists back then.
Well, I think that, it's kind of a cool thought. Something fun to chew on.
Wait a minute, that they were terrorists or that Mosiah is not as we know it?
Because if they were terrorists, doesn't that make the original Mosiah the original George Bush the second? Food for thought, everyone.
Really,
food for
not
thought.
Not really seeing the relationship on that one. You're saying that somehow Al-Qaeda is like the progeny of George W. Bush.
That's exactly what I'm. No, I'm just kidding.
So Bill Clinton is their grand. So Bill Clinton, you're basically saying Bill Clinton is like King Benjamin.
Yeah, I think that's safe. Yeah,
I think that's pretty. I think that's a fair.
And
analogy,
Kennedy, of course, would
there.
Be Jacob.
Perhaps is it an Enos though? When we jump through a bunch of other, or is it Jerem?
Jerem, that's Jerem. The Book of Jerem is hilarious because they're like, "Whoa,
you skip like seven generations."
My name's
like, whoa,
Jimmy.
Whoa.
I wasn't that great, so I'm just gonna give it to my brother. It's like, all right, thanks, thanks for that.
And then they're like, and so is my father, and my father, and my father. I mean, it is only rivaled by Ether when it lists like 12 generations.
Homer begot Omed, and on and on it goes. All right. So,
and we'll get more into these quirky Mormon names as time goes on.
I am excited about our next story here. It's Mormon imagery runs deep in Twilight. So there's a professor in LA who suggests that the Mormon imagery is deep and thorough by citing such things as this is what I love, her support of this theory. So she says, intentional or otherwise, it's very hard to ignore all the imagery. For example, the story's teenage heroine avoids coffee, tea, alcohol, and tobacco. Coffee, tea, and tobacco, they despise. Not unlike the Mort of Wisdom. And she tells her father, cut back on steak. Also LDS teachings.
No, does she actually tell him that?
Yes, yes.
So Twihards, please, in honor of the film Eclipse coming out, please confirm or deny.
Bella does household chores such as cooking and cleaning, a strong Mormon influence there. The crucial belief that Mormons can become divine. She believes that her vampires are godlike.
You're missing one big one.
Wait, I might get, what is it?
Chastity.
Oh, here's... Bella and Edward's marriage and her quick pregnancy underscores the Mormon emphasis on family. But...
That and she would not be intimate with him outside of the bonds of marriage.
But her fetus nearly destroys her, so distraught husband suggests an abortion. Which, Mormons permit abortions if the mother's life is in danger. Ergo!
Or if,
clearly,
or if your child is half vampire, I imagine.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great to be that bishop? He's like, wait, what? You have
a vampire.
Like,
he's
going to
suck everyone's blood. Everyone's blood.
And then, yeah, so just. It goes on and on. But I don't know. Sure, maybe. But it made me think of, like, some of the other Mormon imagery films of yesteryear. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen. Have you ever seen Battlestar Galactica?
Like, bits and pieces and such, but, you know.
Well. I've seen bits and pieces as well. It's a shame to my geek heritage, but there's like a ton of that stuff because it was originally done by two Mormon guys that had written the original screenplay, and then it got adopted into these other ones. And so they kept tenets of the Mormon kind of underpinnings. Like, they have a council of 12 that decides all the decisions. All the colonies originated on the planet Kobol, as in Kolob, but without. Or put with the B and L switch.
Wow, they're that creative. They switch the L and the B. They're like, it's Kobol.
Hey, if it's already written, just use that. Anyway.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
I do love the, anything around Twilight, I just think it's hilarious. So. Good times with vampires and Mormons.
It advocates chastity.
It advocates.
Which I love, because I've always believed that marriage is between one woman and one vampire.
Well,
geez, suck on that.
I'm sorry?
Alternative marriage people?
We do.
I mean, next thing you know.
Yeah, all right.
Next thing you know, you're going to have people asking, why can't vampires marry humans?
Why can't vampires marry other vampires? And we say, look, I don't know.
I guess that is the better analogy, because if we're talking about the homosexual stuff, it would seem awkward if a lesbian wanted to marry a straight man willingly. So,
wait, I actually came across a story about that. There was a.
I mean, it happens for other reasons, but I mean, like, legitimately.
There's a story we almost did today about like a lady's friends intervening to try and get her not to marry a gay man who was marrying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we looked at that.
Interesting, anyway.
So, speaking of one Stephanie Meyer, who wrote the Twilight series.
Yes.
The terribly, terribly written Twilight series. This woman is making a fortune off of poor writing. But anywho, Stephanie Meyer, you ready for this?
I'm waiting.
She lives in Arizona. Beautiful Arizona. Wait, if I'm not mistaken.
What happens in Arizona?
She lives in the eastern part of the Valley of the Sun. If I'm not mistaken, I believe she lives in like the Queen Creek area. Arizonites, correct me if I'm wrong. That area will be part of the new Gilbert Temple District when it is built. Yes, the beautiful Gilbert Temple, which will be built at the intersection of Greenfield and Pecos Roads in Gilbert, Arizona. Nary like 5 miles away from the Mesa Temple.
I would like to applaud that transition, Jeff. Well done. Well done.
Wasn't that awesome? Nope. You like that?
Hey. Brilliantly executed.
So anywho, for a while now, what I've heard is that the church spokesman is this man named Paul Gilbert, ironically enough, same last name as the temple, which probably doesn't do us... It probably doesn't do us any favors with the confused public about Mormons anyway. They probably think, like, what, this guy's building himself a temple? What is this?
Gilbert wants to build
it. Anyway.
Yeah.
I believe he's the lawyer, and he's been handling stuff for temples in the church. We've also mentioned his name with the Phoenix Temple. And I love the contrasts between the Phoenix Temple with all of its problems for construction and delays, and the Gilbert one, which has basically just been rubber stamped by everybody in the area. So they've said for a while that the Gilbert Temple will have a unique design, quote-unquote, that it won't follow the same... Every temple's unique, but it won't follow that same style. You know what I mean? I mean, we see sets of temples, if you will, that there's different sort of templates they work off of, and they customize this and that. But by and large, right now the church probably has, what would you say, I don't know, three or four sort of templates, maybe? Ones they alternate with, yeah. Right?
You're with I don't me? Know. Yeah.
More or less. So they've said that Gilbert will be very, very unique. So this week, this is the first time I've seen the unveiled design for the Gilbert Temple. By and large, from what I can tell from this one picture, is that it does look different than most. The spire is a bit different. It still has, though, like tall stained glass with a circular stained glass window at the top center of it, and it shares the walkway, the covered arched walkway. It still has a lot of those things. But what's funny in this article is the Q&A with Paul Gilbert, and they ask him a question. They say, question, each temple has a unique design, correct? And he says, that is an accurate statement. This temple has a special design. It's designed specifically for the setting it's in the town of Gilbert, Arizona. And he goes on, sometimes almost skirting questions like a politician, which makes, look at the next question. What aspects of Gilbert are reflected in the design? When I say Gilbert, I mean the general area. The temple serves more than just Gilbert. But it was designed to take into account that we're in an arid climate. If you look at the Mesa Temple, it is one of the most unique temples in the church. That was designed specifically to fit in with the architecture of the Southwest and Arizona in particular. And this temple is as well. So this is what I say. For one thing, the Mesa Temple, I don't know if it was designed to be Southwest. I believe that was in that set of La Ie, Mesa, and Cardston, which I believe were more designed to represent Solomon's Temple from back in the day. But you look at this Gilbert one, this looks nothing like it's... There are no Southwest influences here, people. You don't see adobe and a bunch of turquoise all over the place or anything like that. It's just... Yeah, check it out.
I love.
Anyway, I just think it's
funny. My favorite part of that story is the response. Well, what exactly is reflected about Gilbert in this temple design? Well, Gilbert, that could be so many things.
Yeah, he kind of he misses some things dead on, and then the Q&A is a lot more straightforward with basic things. What message did the church want to send by using such stately architecture? He just says, temples for members of our faith are the most sacred buildings and are much more sacred than our chapels. And we have hundreds of chapels and la-ti-da-ti-da, and we're trying to convey the majesty of the temple. So it's pretty big, too. The temple will be 85 feet tall minus the steeple, and I think nearly 200 feet high with the steeple on it.
Ooh la la.
Pretty beastly. It's also funny to see the user comments as well, because over here on AZ Central, because those are always the most amusing with any of these articles. Like, this guy just says, I'm not Mormon, but when am I going to see my home values start going up? Come on!
See, that's a smart man. He knows what's up.
Another guy rambling about, where's the FAA when we need them? Why that the man-made angel will be on a flight path? and he says, a private building does not need to be the tallest building in Gilbert. So what does that mean? Like a city-owned building should be the tallest building in Gilbert, Arizona?
The city hall. should reach the skies.
Yeah, what, Gilbert City Hall should be 200 feet tall. Of course a private building's going to be taller. Look at skyscrapers. They're all private buildings, dude. What do you expect?
He would rather have his tax dollars go towards building taller buildings.
Which sounds like a true Arizona conservative. So good for him. It does crack me up. The FAA thing, like, what, he thinks we need to have red lights on the top of the temple? I mean, there's no airport anywhere nearby. It's not in a flight path or anything. It's just, oh, it makes me laugh.
Good times.
So there we go. But we'll post the story and, of course, pictures for your exclusive look.
Absolutely.
The Gilbert Temple, everyone.
So there was a study done recently in Provo, Utah, about binge drinking or about drinking and more specifically about, like, dangerous drinking. And I feel like we should give it the obvious award, because if you don't already know the results of this study, then you have no business being a parent. But so the study finds...
Take it there.
The study finds that it's a good idea to have both supervision and affection in your relationship with your child, rather than thinking that one or the other is going to be sufficient. Noted.
You mean to tell me that parenting involves a multifaceted approach?
Also...
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. They said teens who rated with their parents high on monitoring but low on warmth were twice as likely to be heavy drinkers. So if you're invasive of your child's privacy and hate them, there's a good chance they're going to rebel and kind of go away. Didn't it say the
reverse though as well also applies?
Yeah. Actually, if you don't monitor but love, it's not doing you anything either. And so the results of the study are that the combination of parenting style with religiosity might help counter the influence of peers towards heavy alcohol use. Okay. And they found that teens with supportive monitoring parents were less likely to have friends who drank, which in turn decreased the probability that teen drinking or drinking heavily. And then they go on to say that, really, I mean, even if you do these things, even if you're loving and kind and warm, there's no it's not a guarantee. Obviously, your child still has their own choice, and it's dependent on the friend. So it's like this whole study done that finds almost nothing conclusive outside of the fact that if you are a schmuck parent, your child is probably not going to want to do what you say.
That's very true.
So parents, beware. Beware. Love your children. Embrace them.
Beware.
Dude, that Winnie the Pooh freaked me out as a kid. That was a messed up Winnie the Pooh. I'm not even kidding.
Was it the Huffalumps?
Yes. Where he's in like that nightmare.
Beware. Yeah, beware. You should go on the ride at Disneyland. It also makes you want to gouge out your eyes.
So Jeff, what do you think? How was your binge drinking affected by your parents' love?
Well, as
warmth?
You know, until approximately, say... 21 weeks ago, I was a binge drinker.
Jeff's been sober for 21 weeks. Congratulations.
I've been sober ever since we started the podcast.
That's what turned you.
We started the podcast and I said, that's it. I can't keep...
You kept showing up hungover and I was like, Jeff, this isn't going to work.
Okay, I will say this from my example. And no parent is perfect. And of course, their children are far from perfect as well. But now, as I've gone through life, I've always felt like I've had a pretty good relationship with the Rents for the most part. And we've been very chummy. You know, my mom and I, we are very, like, we're very buddy-buddy as far as a parenting relationship. But she has been a nag at many points throughout my life. And while I've hated it at times, it's probably been for the best as I look on it in hindsight. Oh. That she's tried to keep up on stuff.
Well, yeah. Well,
be up on me, you know?
Well, I mean, it sure beats the alternative of having no idea what's going on in your kid's life, right? I mean,
we're also not even knowing who your parents are. That could be a downside as well.
Well, I'm going to create a dossier for my children to read nightly that will inform them of my many nuances, tendencies, and traits.
And so when they say, Mommy, what was Daddy like? They will know. Your mom will say, well, here was this book before he ran away.
Why did Daddy leave us? So
I love that we should not make fun of this because there are so many broken homes. I feel terrible. And I've got divorced parents, for goodness sake. And here I am mocking it.
Well, I mean, we're not mocking the We're mocking the study, not so much the issue. Because
hey, it's a valuable study. There are
there's
out
no
there
value
who...
in that. No one gets this and is like, wait a minute. I've been going about this wrong way. I thought okay, if I beat my kids, that would make them good.
I think it does win the obvious award, but at the same time, I believe there are a lot of parents who figure that having a quote-unquote better relationship with their kids means just being close to them. And if they are on that kind of level, you know, why would their children ever lie to them? Why would they go astray or have problems or this or that? You know, a lot of parents don't want to be tough parents.
You mean close to them like chummy-chummy, yeah?
Yeah, chummy-chummy. You know, be really close, and that can substitute for actual firm parenting. And it's hard for some parents. Some people are naturally always going
to
be...
They want to be the friend, not the parent.
They want to be a friend, and they're more of a pushover, and it's not easy to be authoritative.
Dude.
And in that regard, this helps to bear... I think it's very easy from that point of view to assume that if you just develop a close, tight-knit relationship with your kids, that can be enough to thwart any sort of potential danger down the road, which is not the case.
Truly. Truly, it is not.
And this study supports that.
This study doesn't even get to that. It has no idea what it's supporting. So, dear BYU studies of 5,000 teenagers ages 12 to 19, go find something better to talk about.
Maybe I should include that in my my Jeff on the Street segment of what they know about Mormons. I will find kids, even though high school is going to be out.
Dude, that would be awesome. Please.
So tell me. Tell me about your parents. Do your parents know you're here? Hey, you kids at the malt shop, what's going on?
Hey, little girl. Do your parents know where you're at? Yes?
They're like,
no?
Hey, I'll buy you guys a shake if you talk to me.
I got candy in the van.
Only in Provo. Provo, you don't have to buy drinks for people. You buy them fry sauce. They're like, yeah, that's right. Can I get you some fry sauce? Oh, I'd love some.
Okay, that's disturbing.
Probably my worst joke ever.
All right, so our last one we have is the Mormon name generator, which
you have just been blazing through all of our stories because you've been so anxious to get to this.
I'm so happy that I'm here. Actually, so happy that I'm here. It's a utility some looks like Rum and Monkey have made. I don't know their affiliation or what it means, but. It says, they're a funny old bunch, those Latter-day Saints. Rather than picking names from their heritage or the Bible, like the Utah Mormons tend to make them up. Sometimes they'll combine the parents' names into one, Ben Donna, for example. Other times, it's impossible to quite understand what the parents were thinking. Names like Zestpool and Zontal aren't uncommon.
You have to understand with Zontal and Zestpool, their father swore that he had seen the manuscript of the lost pages of Moroni.
Of Mosiah.
That's what I said.
Because I met people like Michonne and like a white girl named Michonne. I mean, you have no business naming.
There are countless made-up names in Utah. It's very true.
Well, so it gives you a utility where you punch in both your first and last name and your gender, and it will generate your name for you. Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff, of course, came up with Jorlin Deshaun. And
how does that come from Jeff?
Hey, how does Zestpool come from Mormons?
Well, I'm trying to understand this. So you put in your name and it somehow just gives you a random Mormon name?
You put in your name and you say, Mormonize me. And mine came out April Duran.
I feel like it would make more...
April.
Now, is that first and last name you're saying?
That is April first Duran. And last name, yeah.
I feel like it would make more sense if they added in, put in your name, and then put in your parents' names as well to play into that.
Now, if I was a female, I'm Alay Donnellan, which I kind of like more than April.
And what is my sweet girly name, Al?
Let's see. Mr. Jeff.
Is that what you have to type in, Mr. Jeff? Is that part of
this
as well? Or
Glendora Deshanta.
Glendora, I'm named after a city in Southern California.
Glendora Deshanta.
My name was Glendora.
If you were Mormon, Jeff, that's what you'd be known as.
Glendora sounds like, I was about to say, it sounds like a female name. Yeah, that works. Now, were you just typing in Jeff or are you typing in Jeffrey, my full
name? That was Jeff. Would you like Jeffrey as a woman?
Well, it could change the whole game and you should try your
With Jeffrey, you are Celestial Glory Deshanta.
I am not.
Yes.
That is not what it says.
Yes, Jeffrey is Celestial Glory Deshanta.
Where did they get Deshanta?
I don't know, but I love it. Anyway,
and what about
I would like to
Alan?
Leave everyone
Alan?
In our audience Alan? With that. You're listening to Abril Duran and Celestial Glory DeShanta. Spinning the news.
But that's the female name.
Week after week. That's a better name, though. Hold on.
What's the man name with my full name?
Jorlin DeShawn. It's the same. See? Celestial.
I really like this DeShawn. Yeah, why do all these names sound black to me?
I like it. I like it.
Why is my name DeShawn?
I would like to name a child using this name generator. I'll ask.
It could be fun. Oh, you know what else we could do? We should go to thosebabynames.com, run through the most popular names around today. Like, hey, you thinking of naming your daughter Madison like everybody else? Just go ahead. Type in Madison right now, Al.
No last name?
Oh, do you have to type in last name as well?
Hold on, let's see. Madison is Trotty Treasure Cocaine. Obviously, the Mormon variation of Madison.
It's cocaine?
Trotty Treasure Cocaine. Yes, of course.
These people are mocking us.
But it's surprisingly entertaining.
Where do you get cocaine from?
Mormon?
I just want to know what their I just want to know what their algorithm is for this so we could
I can figure
replicate
it out.
It.
I'll do a little research on the source code.
You should, then we should jack them and make that part a featured part of our
yes.
website.
Yes.
I think that'd be awesome. So my name is Celestial Cocaine or whatever my name is. Celestial DeShanta Cocaine.
Celestial Glory
Kwame.
DeShanta.
DeShanta Kwame. I'm going to say I was Kwame. I think I was born on a Tuesday, so I'd have to get back to you on what that is. I don't have my sheet of traditional Twi naming rules, which I do have, but I don't have it with me.
I forgive.
I keep it in one of my old mission journals. I have a list.
I forgive you.
Just in case I wanted to name my kids traditional Ghanaian names.
Thank you.
I'm serious. I just want to try this with everyone I know now.
Well,
so everyone, if you happen to go to this website and try it out, what we would like you to do is post on either the webpage or even the Facebook. It'd be more fun on a good Facebook wall, I think, if you go to facebook.com/thisweekinmormons. And if you run your name through this thing, please post in response, a general post or in response to the post of this episode, what your name actually is.
Mormonize yourself.
Mormonize yourself, and we would very much like to see what everyone's names would be. And if there's a winner, well, if you come to you, if you live in Utah, I will interview about how you about how you feel about your new Mormon name, and it will be part of Jeff on the Street. I will come to you in your McMansion, and it will be good. What are you typing there, son?
I'm putting it up on our Facebook page right now. What is your Mormon name?
Well, that's a great way to get people to actually listen to the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Our show has to be like a gateway drug to these things, not vice versa.
I'm sorry. I'm putting it up.
Okay. Go for it. Because I guess they'll get it, and then hopefully they'll respond after they hear me compelling them to respond. I'm just kind of going in circles at this point with it, aren't I?
Anyway, that's it for us.
It's kind of a quick show. I feel like we covered a lot of stuff in such a short amount of time.
That's what we do, man. We pack it all in and serve it up on a dish.
Really? That's what we do?
Ish. I'm rounding to the nearest dish. Parallel.
To the nearest ish of a dish. I don't know. This is kind of weak, but that's okay. So, yeah. I don't know if we have any other news. Anything else you wanted to discuss with our fine followers? Good sir.
No sir. This week I will.
Are you sure?
I will go and visit an EFY. It'll be glorious, and I will bring back reports of how the youth in our church are doing. How are they? Good. I hope so.
So there it is. You will report on EFY.
Just
in a number of weeks.
Just like at sacrament meeting when they have you get up and give that cheesy report.
Oh yeah, I forgot the kids used to do that, huh? I never did EFY as a kid. I wasn't part of the agenda.
I didn't really either.
Not the full deal thing. My brothers and sister got I don't have two brothers. My brother and sister got to go do them in Utah. The real deal. Never done that. Nor have I done Education Week. There's so much I have not done.
Go get it.
I feel like I'm missing out on all the great Mormondom that awaits me.
Well,
and it suddenly smells like barbecue here.
We'll resume this next week.
What is this? It smells like burn. It smells like campfire now. I don't know what's happening. We will resume next week. So, our dear friends, we hope you all have a lovely week. Thanks for starting it with us. Always a pleasure to be here with you.
Always.
And Al, have a great time at EFY.
Okay, I will, Pa.
With the kids, I can guarantee that Al is one of these beloved figures with the EFY children.
Children love me. What can I say? I'm a hit with the Miamaids.
I have one word, four syllables to sum it all up for you, Al.
Give it to me.
Envirothon.
I'm out.
Do you recall the Envirothon?
Of course I recall the... We can post that, too.
Is that okay for posting?
That was a brilliant moment in my life.
There are a lot of good videos of us doing really random stuff that would probably be worth posting for the whole public when we think about it.
I agree.
I mean, that, when you do your evangelical preacher routine, that's very good.
That was a great time. All right, we'll put some...
The video for Orlando, the tree. Remember the interpretive tree dance?
Oh, gosh. It was beautiful. All right, well, we'll start feeding some of this into the feed. You guys just
make sure this week interpretive tree dance is going up. This week we'll put up interpretive.
Make sure you go and subscribe to the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/thisweekinmormons, and you'll get all this right in the news feed. You can enjoy it right along with us.
Yep, and that'll be that. So thanks, buddy. Have a terrific week there.
All right. We'll see you, Jeff.
See ya, and thank you all for listening very much. We appreciate your support and interest in this silly little podcast that we do. Our goal, of course, is to rise through the ranks and become the most important LDS-centered anything other than General Conference itself to all of you. So anyway, thanks everybody. This has been another edition of This Week in Mormons, and we'll talk to you later. See ya. Hiring through the folks with regrets. Different now. Step is like a mile. All the lights seem to flash and pass you by. So, how's it gonna be when it all comes down? Recycling triviality. Don't know which way to turn. Every trifle becoming bears hurts. All this time you were chasing dreams without knowing. How's it gonna be?